friends, welcome to episode 241 of Self Kind with me, Erica Webb. Today we're going to talk about something that I'm really into at the moment, this concept idea of joyful rebellion.
Hi, and welcome to Self Kind with me, Erica Webb. This is a podcast about what it means to be, live, and move through a lens of self-kindness. We'll look at the ways self-kindness can underpin our practices in movement, mindfulness, and mindset to support us to be and do the things we so desire in the world. I'm thrilled you're here. Let's get into the show.
All right. So how are you, friends? Did you tune into Tuesday's Tidbit? I did a episode, and to be fair, I just recorded it before I recorded this one. So yes, I'm wearing the same clothes if you're watching on YouTube. Trying to keep my life a little simpler by not worrying too much about costume changes. But if you listened in to that episode, I think that this episode actually really ties in quite nicely with that in an unintended kind of way, because we're talking about joyful rebellion. Now, this is something that popped into my mind while I was teaching last week. And it's a concept that I've given words to, I guess, and I haven't Googled to see if anybody else is using the same words. So it's quite possible that I'm not the first person to put these two words together. But it really, to me, is this concept of the joy that can come with recognizing that we have choice and stepping away from the reflexive guilt that often feels like it controls us, and allowing ourselves to actually seek and immerse ourselves in enjoyment and joy. So, as I said, this idea came up when I was teaching, and it kind of came from something that I do all the time, which is offering more than one option for a particular movement or sequence or pose. Now, in reality, if you're doing a movement class, you have all the options available to you all the time, right? We often believe that, like, well, the teacher's teaching this, that's what I need to do. Sometimes you'll be given options, sometimes you won't, but you are a completely, like, choice-driven human. You always have more than one or two options. You always have all the options, right? It doesn't always feel that way, but you certainly do. Now, when I offer a couple of options, what I'm really mindful of is that our human brain automatically does a, let's sort this into a hierarchy thing. Which one of these choices is better? Which one does the teacher really want me to do? Which one would show my skill? Which one would make me better, stronger, more flexible, whatever? And that happens, I think, very automatically, because our human brains love to organize things, categorize things, hierarchy things. I'm not sure if that's a proper use of that word, but put things in good, bad, better, worse, like it, don't like it, this way, not that way, right? That is very human. That is just what our brains do. And so when I say, you know, maybe do it this way or maybe do it that way, I'm very mindful of the fact that for everyone, including myself, there will be a reflexive, you know, mental action that says, oh, that's probably the better one, right? That's the more desirable one. And it's simply not true, right? They're both fabulous options that are really only able to be assessed based on your current future needs and state. But what do we do if we have that automatic organizing, right? That happens, the automatic judgment that our brain does. And we feel pulled to act in line with the hierarchy that our brain has spat out. We can feel very kind of like pulled around by that. There is a feeling that can come with that of like maybe resentment, maybe punishment, maybe a stretch, maybe it's a positive thing for you, but there is this sense that it wasn't really in your control, right? Like we're getting dragged in that direction potentially. And so joyful rebellion is noticing that, oh, my brain's made an automatic assessment, and knowing that that's happened and then choosing in the direction of what you want, right? based on not that hierarchy, right? Not that automatic assessment. Maybe it factors in to the decision that you make, but you make a decision with like a joyful determination to move in the direction of what is most suitable for you. And you are the one that gets to make that decision because you're the only one who has access to what it's like to be in your soma, right? Your internal experience of being you. And so we can take that idea onto the yoga mat or any kind of movement forum where we're being given choices and kind of demonstrations of where to take our body. And we can be like, you know what? I recognize that I have choice. And sometimes, you know, in the words there, it's like joyful rebellion, like, oh, my brain's telling me that's the better way to go. I'm joyfully going to do the other way because that feels so much more aligned with what I need. And I noticed in my own body that I really experience a great amount of like pleasure and joy in having that moment of going, oh, I really get to choose. I don't have to be dragged away by the, you know, judgmental thoughts that might automatically pop into mind. And it's really only been in the last couple of years that I've given myself permission to feel joy. I'm not going to lie. That's very serious. And I think the permission for joy is a part of this, and maybe that's something that we'll talk about on another episode. But actually really feeling a sense of delight in choosing towards myself. And in all honesty, in that movement example, maybe both options are perfectly fine, right? And certainly in the context of the movement classes that I offer, often they're both, you know, like one's not super kind of bendy, stretchy, and the other one not. They're often very similar and just different ways of going about something similar. So it's just this moment of being like, wow, I really have choice. And that sounds quite silly in some ways to say that, because of course you do, you know, you always do, especially if you're living in a privileged Western society, like we have choice, but, and especially on the yoga mat, right? But it doesn't always feel like that. It really doesn't feel like that. And so really seeking out the information that tells you like, what direction do you want to move in? Giving yourself permission to move towards your own joy. And recognizing that it also creates this moment where you have to make that assessment for yourself, right? Because your brain's going to do the automatic assessment. But how do you then take the pieces of information from your somatic experience to say, this is the way that I want to go? And I'm giving myself permission, regardless of what, you know, kind of hierarchical arrangement my brain has made. This idea stemmed from practice on the mat. But what I've come to recognize as I've sat with this over the last little while is that it's actually how I'm approaching life these days. There is this sense of, you know, I really lived the good girl life for a very long time. And I still am very law abiding, right? Like I would still describe myself as quite a, you know, good girl in some ways, but not in a people pleasing default kind of knee-jerk reaction, guilt kind of way. And I take great joy in that. I want to give you a few examples, but before I do, I want to sum up this idea of joyful rebellion. I've kind of written it down, so you'll see me look down if you're watching the video, but I want to sort of sum it up and then give you some examples to hopefully make this seem a little bit clearer if it's not clear, and to hopefully give you some ways of potentially looking at this in your own life as well. So here's the summation. I have two or more choices. One or both has a reflexive relationship with guilt or a good, bad assessment. I see that and I choose to act outside of that reflexivity and instead move towards what I feel I most want and need given my current state and like future desires, right? There's an important thing that I want to go back to here, which is this reflexive relationship with guilt or good, bad assessments. This is something that I hear all the time, right? We have two choices, and let's move this off the yoga mat. Actually, let's keep it on the yoga mat for a minute and then we'll move it off in a sec. We're on the yoga mat. We have a movement that we're doing. We're in a live class. Let's assume we're in a room with other people. And the teacher says, well, you can do it this way or you can do it that way. And it's very evident that one way is more challenging, more advanced, if you want to think of it like that. And everyone else in the room chooses that way. And you're immediately like, ah, crap, what do I do? I don't want to do that, but I feel bad, right? It's that reflexive, something is wrong with me, something's bad about me, I'm not good enough, reflexively kind of defaulting to feeling guilty, feeling bad, feeling like we can't live up to those standards. Same with somebody asks you to do something and your immediate internal reaction is, I really don't have the time, the desire, or the resources for that. And then the reflexive guilt. Oh, but I feel so bad, I have to say yes, right? It's that moment where you get to be like, you know what? I actually have a choice. And I'm going to say no with joy. Not like, screw you, I say no to your requests. But like, wow, I have choice and agency here. I see the reflexive guilt. I see that my mind wants to tell me that there's one way to go here because it's what makes me a good person. And I'm going to choose to move towards what I actually want and have capacity for and feels good, settled, aligned in my body. So that's one example, right? Where someone asks you something and the automatic guilt of like, oh, crap. Another one would be like today when I've sat down to do work, I have such a long list of things that I want to get through. Some of them are kind of more high priority than others. And even within the reality of like the things that I need to get done, recognizing that I have choices about how I can navigate them, and also recognizing the choice that I have to not go and do all the housework that also needs to be done, right? So there's washing that needs to be done. I really need to clean the floors because I would like them to be cleaner than they are. But also recognizing that I am choosing not to go into guilt over that because I also really recognize that I have a choice. I have so many choices in regards to that, right? And so this joyful rebellion comes from the delight of knowing I get to choose. My brain, those thoughts, they are just these automatic habits, reactions, computations, and I do not have to just believe them all the time. And having the resources to be able to say, okay, well, I do feel a little guilty about that, and moving through it, right? I think sometimes this might not feel like joyful rebellion in the beginning. It just feels uncomfortable. But what I've come to recognize over a number of years of doing this is that the joy comes because I am so much more committed to that kind of like regulated, I'm in control of what I choose to say, to do, etc. That just feels really good, right? So I don't tolerate the discomfort of ignoring my own needs the way that I used to. I can tolerate discomfort, absolutely, because that's part of being human. But there's a very special flavor that comes along with kind of like self-neglect that I am no longer willing to tolerate for the most part, right? I say, you know, I think there's always got to be that disclaimer. I'm sure that I do it sometimes. But, you know, I've got another example written down here actually. So maybe another one here is like, I'm deciding if I'm going to do a yoga class or go and watch TV. And reflexive guilt, my brain says, obviously, you should do the yoga class, right? That's the better one to do. And the self-shaming, the kind of ick that comes along with that is deeply uncomfortable. But joyful rebellion says, huh, I see that I'm shooting on myself here. I see the reflexive guilt and I recognize that I actually have a choice. What if there is no hierarchy here, but there's just an opportunity for me to move in the direction of what feels the most supportive, both of my like right now feelings combined with my long-term desires, goals, and values. And that means, of course, that it's rather tricky because it breaks down the clear black and white framework that so many of us would like to be able to live by, right? But I think that when we practice this more and more, we come to realize that the structure and the freedom can live side by side and really support each other. This approach doesn't actually require you to do away with structure and planning. I actually think it can be incredibly beneficial. Nor does it say, well, now only your immediate urges and desires matter. Like, that's just taking this kind of like thought process and again being like, well, my brain says it's good or it's bad, and believing that without any other sort of interrogation, and recognizing that, like, it's not actually just a matter of, well, either my long-term goals are winning or my immediate urges are winning, right? Like, there's somewhere in between there where we actually can consider both and how they interact with each other and how they interact with this moment and then what we go on to choose. What this approach really asks you to do, not get rid of your structure and planning if it's helpful, not just give in to all of your like immediate desires, but it asks you to give away guilt and shame driving all of the time. They might still show up, right? I'm not saying that it asks you to give them away and be like, well, I'm never going to feel guilt or shame or, you know, that discomfort ever again. You will. It's guaranteed. But you don't let that drive. You don't let it take control all of the time. The frequency, the like urgency with which those show up decreases. So I'd love to know, what do you think of reflexive joy? Although that sounds great too, but what do you think of this idea of, joyful rebellion? I had to think of what it was again. What do you think of joyful rebellion? I love it. And I think it so clearly sort of summarizes where I've gotten to over a number of years in terms of my relationship with myself and self-care and my like responsibilities as a human. But I'm just so curious to know how it lands, to know what you think, to know if it's helpful, supportive. What does it make you think of? So come and find me and share your thoughts. You'll find me over on Instagram at @ErikaWebb_selfkind. And let me know. If you're on YouTube, you can, of course, just leave a comment underneath. All right, keep being kind to yourselves. See how you can throw some joyful rebellion into your week. And I will see you soon.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Self Kind. If you loved it, why not share it? And while you're there, take the time to subscribe, rate, and review the show. I'd love you to come hang out with me more too. You'll find me over on Instagram at @ErikaWebb_selfkind. And you can sign up for my e-newsletter by heading to my website, erikawebb.com.au. While you're there, you can also read up more about the Self Kind Hub and other ways of working with me. Until next time, keep being kind to yourself. Bye.